Velvarg could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Mr. TV Man, what's happening?
Hey, hey. Remember when we were all having a really shit time during the pandemic?
True.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything's perfect.
Yes.
And yeah. Everyone's got big grins on their faces permanently.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah. No one's got a care in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, so...
Great yeah. Preface.
So I was a little bit late to Ted Lasso, but that turned out to be quite a great kind of COVID show for me. And mm-hmm. I think that it captured the imagination captured the imagination of people around that period for the same reasons that we're all having a real shit time, and this Jason Sudeikis football comedy just did all the right things to make us not feel so awful.
Yes, right. Yes.
And now season 3 is back on Apple TV Plus today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if, I mean, I'm probably going to watch it, but the first thing I'm thinking about is, I don't know if I need Ted Lasso anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel maybe I've kicked Ted.
Yes.
Did you guys do the Ted?
I did not do Ted, but I would agree that, like, I have a lot of friends who also watched Ted and absolutely loved Ted. But that's an interesting opinion that you bring up, if you don't want Ted anymore in your life because things are going up and up.
It's just great. Grins on the face everywhere, you know, yeah, like yeah, I was saying. Yeah. Everything's rosy and perfect. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I found with season 2 of Ted Lasso, and, you know, certainly feel free to send your dissenting opinions through on a self-addressed, stamped envelope, 95BFM, private bag, or courtesy AUS, I don't know, whatever, was that season 2 of the show did not match up to the first season for me. It really kind of... felt like the show sort of fell in love with itself a bit, and you know, as with some things that have long gestating follow-ups or come back for a sequel many years afterwards,
yeah,
maybe arguably sort of don't quite get what the best things about itself mm-hmm. is. Ted Lasso started to feel a little bit convoluted for me, and I think that may have sort of trickled into some of the production problems that have led to the third season arriving a little bit behind schedule. They had originally scheduled this to begin filming in September 21. Okay, look, probably some COVID stuff gets mm-hmm. in the way there. But then they also had major scripting changes happening and kind of kept bumping the start date back.
Mm.
Then, of course, there's this little thing called the illegal and unprovoked invasion of Ukraine happening. And so... they're going to go shoot at Chelsea Football Club and Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich's Russian oligarchness kind of got in the way there. Mm-hmm. So a whole bunch of interesting obstacles, but it does all add up to it's been a little while since episodes. And, you know, hopefully Jason Sudeikis' relentless positivity in the character still has some kind of recuperative effect today. But I guess we'll find out. And look, I'm keen to get any feedback on how people are feeling about their own need for Ted. Have you kicked Ted? Do you need Ted? Texts.
And if you do still write letters, you can send it to private bag 92019 Auckland 1142.
I think someone checks once
familiar.
A week or something.
That's such a familiar
private
address.
Bag.
Yeah. I'll after the segment, I'll show you a letter I received.
Oh, very good.
Private bag 92019 Auckland. It was a goodie. Thanks, John Russell, if you're out there. So that's Ted Lasso. That's tonight. If you are in the mood to do some other kind of diving back into bygone days, the New York Music Explosion documentary Meet Me in the Bathroom is back for a couple more screenings this week.
Mm-hmm.
This played at the New Zealand International Film Festival last year and also recently had a screening at Hollywood Avondale. If you haven't seen this on the big screen, go and see it. I mean, look, it's definitely looks at this moment in culture through a specific lens. Certainly the bands like The Strokes and The Yeah Yeahs and Liars, etc., you know, don't encapsulate everything that was happening in music at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But shit, living through it was an explosion.
Yes, and they had such an impact at the time, the Strokes. Yeah. I just remember listening to that album when it came out and going, what on earth is this?
Big time. And yeah. And I think for me, when I think about these bands, like when I close my eyes and think about these bands, the versions of them that I see are not their first album versions. Mm. They're like maybe like three or four albums in, maybe things are getting a bit more polished, a bit more major label. And it's awesome to see the footage of this stuff breaking out of New mm-hmm. York at the turn of the millennium. And, you know, horrible shit like what happens when 9/11 happens and the impact that has on the city. So there's a couple of screenings of this coming up this week. It plays tomorrow night at Capitol in Balmoral, and also on Saturday afternoon. If you're a music fan, if you liked those bands, if you're an Interpol fan or a Strokes fan or want to find out that James Murphy's actually a bit of a dick, then this is the film for you.
It makes me wonder what music documentaries are going to look like in 20, 30 years' time when they talk about the music scenes within the 2010s, 2020s. Is it foreseeable that we'll see a lot more films in portrait, you reckon? Because people would have been filming shit on their phones?
Yeah. Or portrait with... like kind of pushed out to landscape, but you just sort of blur the footage so you can push it out to landscape. Oh, look, well, hang on. We'll all be watching everything in portrait, won't we? Oh, hang on.
Will we?
We'll be fucking dead, mate.
It's true.
Fine. We're not going to be around. It's we're just going to be embers. It's fine. So, you know, I think it's a great line of thought, but, you know, yeah. Learn to find water and seek shelter, maybe.
Fair enough.
Would be my advice. Hey, look, it's all grins. Everything's perfect now that COVID's gone, John.
Oh, goodness me. Anything else? What else?
This segues. Mm-hmm. You're going to see what I did here, because this wasn't just my own doom-laden predictions for the future, but this leads right into a show arriving on Apple TV this weekend called Extrapolations. It's a really unwieldy title, but this is one that I've seen a few episodes of and highly recommend, especially in the wake of the catastrophic weather events that have hit New Zealand over the last couple of months. Now, what this show is a near future anthology series. It's from Scott Z. Burns. He's the dude who wrote Contagion. Mm-hmm. And if we think back again to the start of the pandemic and everyone was like having a hoon on Contagion again and it all felt really grounded and realistic, this is his climate change show.
Okay.
And what Extrapolations does is, through a series of standalone episodes, it just kind of walks us through all these different eras and all the different kind of things that are coming down the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
They're not great. But all these stories are populated by humans. There's still human joy. There's still like good things that happen in them. Mm-hmm. But it is set against the backdrop of things like a synagogue in Miami is a foot underwater. What are they going to do about it?
Yeah.
There's like rampant fires, air pollution. Species are becoming extinct. So let's quickly like grab all the genetic and behavioral characteristics of species before they die so we can be capitalists and make money off them in the future.
Yes.
This is a pretty... grim show, but watching it around the time, watching actually between those two most severe weather events over the last couple of months, was thinking this is really well timed, because without being a disaster movie, like without being, you know, Armageddon or The Towering Inferno or something, it's great just to sort of think like we theoretically know what some of these problems are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We read the news or ignore the news or whatever, but to see people existing in these predicaments, you know, some of the stories aren't primarily about this problem, but I think it was a real wake-up call for me going, well, look, these are episodes set 20 or 30 years' time. If we're still kicking around, we'll have to be dealing with some of this stuff. It's pretty heavy, eh?
Yeah. Do you think Al Gore should have done this approach rather than make An Inconvenient Truth about 20 years ago?
I think that this show works so well because we have it comes at the perfect time because Burns has the technology to make this real and feel real. At times, like, it is a little bit hard on the sleeve, but I think just being a little bit confronted with how these are both huge problems and also kind of banal things as well, because like that's what it's going to be like, right? Like if you sort of deal with something day in, day out, we're not going to, we're the frog cooking in the water. We're not really noticing it day to day, but it's just something we've got to deal with.
Yes.
And then the other thing that really benefits it is that this is the era of streaming television, and incredibly large budgets get thrown around to people. I mean, is there an irony in Apple TV giving someone heaps of money to make a show about human destruction of the environment when this black mirror that I'm holding has batteries in it that are a finite resource mined by slave labor?
And
probably
this MacBook Pro.
Probably. Yes, but nevertheless, I think good on them for making it. Now, this is a huge all-star cast is across this anthology series. Top lined, well, the biggest name is Meryl Streep. There's also Sienna Miller, Kit Harington, Edward Norton, Diane Lane, David Diggs, Gemma Chan, David Schwimmer, Kerry Russell, Marion Cotillard, Forrest Whitaker, Tobey Maguire. Yeah.
Schwimmer,
and he plays a schmuck.
Ah.
A rich schmuck.
Ugh.
Oh, good on him. Why not?
From Friends to being a giraffe in a kids' movie, and now this.
And now
Schwimmer's had a fascinating career.
So this the series spans from 2037 to 2070. I'm as yet unsure.
And things get better?
Well, I'm as yet unsure if it's going to posit solutions. If you would like to investigate solutions, I can heartily recommend Kim Stanley Robinson's outstanding novel, Ministry of the Future, which sets out just how drastic the things have to be to actually make a significant difference.
Yes.
It's like quite mind-boggling how serious those changes need to be. We've really gone off on a tangent here, but extrapolations, watch it. Like, you look, it's a bit uncomfortable, but we've all watched like dystopian sci-fi and shit. We've watched the Blade Runner sequel. It's not a million miles away from that.
Yes.
It's just feels really pertinent. So that kicks off on the weekend. Meet me in the bathroom, go back in your time machine to Indie Sleaze, I guess. And let's all see if we still need Ted with Ted Lasso today. Next week, I want to have a chat about John Wick Chapter 4.
Four?
Oh, yeah. Better than The Matrix 4, I'm assuming.
Well, they've both got Keanu Reeves in them.
I love him. I love rules. Him. I reckon he's awesome.
Let me have a think about what John Wick Chapter 4 and The Matrix 4 have in common before next week.
Okay.
Can you chuck in a bit of Bill and Ted in there?
Yeah, yeah. What I'll say now is John Wick Chapter 4 is exceptionally long. Like, it's
quite long.
Not far off 3 hours long. So I'll chuck a bit of Bill and Ted there. Would I jump in a phone booth and skip ahead 20 minutes of the movie at one point? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad that we've got that.
Would I also use that phone booth to skip back because I had to go to the bathroom? Yeah, I'd do that because I missed something.
They've got a remote for that, you know?
I'll take my remote to IMAX.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much.
Look, grins, everybody. Life's perfect now.
Someone's saying they completely agree, not planning to watch season 3 of Ted Lasso. And someone's saying portrait movie theaters that are just very tall.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Just sides of buildings and that, eh?
Can we get some architects to, like, make us a design of what that looks like, please?
What about budget ones where it's just the same movie theater but you lie down?
All right, Steve, thank you, mate.
Just solved it. All right.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.